Maybe you can say something about how this all started.
Well, we were commissioned by Danish performance group Hotel Proforma to make music for their opera about Charles Darwin. The theme was Darwin and evolution theory, with a focus on biology and geology, with a scientific approach. The framework for the piece was a literature list with Darwin's On the Origin of the Species as core, together with contemporary readings of Darwin, a timeline consisting of a drawn line that looked like a mountain, where the music was going to be 100 minutes, have three singers, an opera singer, a pop singer, and an actress. And we were supposed to write the libretto in both the Victorian 1800s language, but at the same time in a contemporary way. I want to ask you about time in music, and how did being in such powerful environments like the Amazon and Iceland affect your ideas about composition?
Well, Janine, being in the Amazon really affected my approach to time and patience in musical composition. Listening for hours to all the different animals at the same time, with their different patterns and rhythms, sometimes following a structure, sometimes random, was really inspiring. This was something we exercised when making the music for the opera. We recorded long takes of different animals that we thought had musical qualities, or did not necessarily sound like animals, materials like stones, leaves, and wind, and let them play together and create their own composition. Trying to achieve many parallel events that collide and create unexpected meetings that weren't planned. Also, we used these recordings as base for modulating and composing electronic sounds. We also tried to practice self-copying, a term used to explain how genes evolve. We set up a series of effects in a feedback chain and let one box start with a simple sound that replicates into the second box, where it modifies slightly, and then into the next one, where new characteristics are added, and so forth. And in the end of the chain, it has gained a completely new character, or perhaps has branched out into a tree of sounds. A crucial goal during our process has been to create change, variation and diversity without hierarchy, as Darwin never used the word evolution, but instead, descent with modification.
When arranging a composition like Variation of Birds, was there any particular idea that you were paying attention to?
Well, Matt, the way the feedback sound is changing is inspired by the way some birds learn their melody. It starts with one note, and then more and more notes are added to create an entire melody. During our research process, we went to our first opera. One thing I learned was how some singers were singing from behind the stage together with the ones in front. This depth in the opera choir was something we tried to implement in this song.
Sounds a big flower, mandible, flat-y, last day, your soul, I'm creeping.
With the vocal melody, we try to get the feeling of a bird flying around, up and down, left to right.
So there are three sorts of birds which use their wings. Ostrich spreads its plumes like sails to the breeze.
So, Janine, what are the thoughts behind Shoal Swarm Orchestra?
One of the first and most important ideas I had right in the beginning was the idea to compose pieces of music about a place I'd never been. An environment or land that lived solely in my imagination. Inspired by this, I wanted to create an archive of sounds that were devoid of real animal sounds. I wanted to imitate animals, not record them literally.
How did you build the track? I know you recorded the sounds on Iceland, then sampled it. But how did you and Olaf arrange it? How did it progress? How was it in relation to what you do by yourself?
It was a very intuitive process. In the beginning, we worked loosely on the themes of Earth, early evolution, with all its different stages and transformation, Earth's birth, becoming fantasy music, or perhaps phantom music. The piece soon began to inform itself. The arrangement became very instinctual, like a growing web, very alive. Regarding how Shoal Swarm Orchestra relates to my own music, the recording of percussion was primarily inspired by recordings I've been making for my new album. I've been working with percussion extensively, so I enjoyed to indulge this personal interest deeper. I have to also mention that Iceland was an amazing place to record. So barren, so few inhabitants, and all that black rock felt like the beginning of time, Earth's beginnings.
You and Olaf used a series of traditional orchestral instruments. However, they were played in a very non-traditional method. Can you give examples of this and what your motivations in doing this were?
On Shoal Swarm Orchestra, as well as on Tomorrow in a Year and other tracks, you can hear a technique that was developed whilst recording on Iceland. The recordings were planned with unconventional approach in mind. We would mix the percussive instruments together, placing lots of tiny pieces onto a giant drum and recording the sound of them jumping and rolling around in the drum skins as we hit it with a huge cloth-covered mallet. Or, in other instances, the instruments would be played whilst being pulled through water. We recorded the large drums in an old factory room that we found next to the studio. The huge reverb gave the recordings that massive and overwhelming effect you hear, giving a great feel for scale.
Can you tell me something about the track Colouring of Pigeons? The title is taken from Charles Darwin's studies of pigeons, a breakthrough of his examinations. It is when he started to discover that genetics transferred within generations. I wanted to have details of the results of his studies in it, lists and piles of details and notes, like a pile of ants, an ant's hill. I thought of the diversity of everything, something we have discussed a lot with Hotel Pro Forma, and a non-hierarchical way of seeing things. Also, a feeling of discovering things for the first time, overwhelming and shaken, but not afraid.
¶¶
Corin, concerning the song Annie's Box, why did he choose the death of Darwin's daughter as a subject to examine lyrically? How do you relate this text to Darwin's process? Was it important to you to have a subject as personal as this included in the group of songs? And if so, why?
I think I was struck by his way to describe what his daughter had meant to him and the love he felt for her. It made me wonder how he saw his own work. What was it to him in comparison to his family? I like that all his children were allowed to play in his study, that he worked at home with all the noise and chaos around the house, and that his children were even a part of his work. For example, that he kept notebooks of their progressions. I like the phrase, the joy of the household, and I wonder how we see upon it today. Maybe it's a new design of furniture.
Many of the song texts are very scientific, i.e., lists of traits or descriptions of events or places. Are there some instances where you feel that the listener can be emotionally moved by such descriptions? Why?
The text started out very scientific, yes. I was searching in archives for words to sing with the music, but after hours and weeks of picking out words, sentences, descriptions, I think they started to create emotion by themselves. Like putting together a bunch of flowers. And even if Charles Darwin worked with science, I think he wrote very beautiful and sometimes romantic. He had a very fine way of describing what he saw.
You read and were inspired by extracts from the letters between Charles Darwin and Emma Darwin. Could you describe how it felt to interpret such a personal document?
I think by reading these very personal documents, I came a bit closer to understanding the environment where Charles Darwin worked and made his studies. I think I'm very interested in what happened around him when he's out there pulling his hair and did his examinations. I don't think he was pulling his hair, though. It was more of an introvert act. I think he was very calm and behaved.
So regarding the lyrics, Matt and Karin, did you approach writing from a scientific, analytical position or a more emotional position, or both? And would you say that you delivered the vocals with the emotion of the species in mind, or your own emotion imagination? Karin!
I think I delivered the vocals with both the imagination of the emotions of the species and my own emotion. It is very interesting to realise you can create a new imaginary world by just reading and discussing a new subject. When we started in March 2008, there was nothing. It was very scientific. We were given instructions from Hotel Pro Forma, some facts and lists of literature. Back then, there was very little emotion connected to the work.
And Matt, how did you approach the lyrics?
I approach the text from a common ground that both scientific and emotional lyrics and words occupy. The notion that the scientific and rigid way of describing what is present cannot have some emotional weight is more of an old way of seeing words and their relationship to close subjective events. The text, abstracted from Darwin's journals, can be very moving in the way that they communicate what it is that he saw and the pleasures and difficulties it gave him to describe a world outside of his Britain. The words that move people generally are the words that they have been taught and accustomed to respond to in an emotional way. For me, it is more interesting to play with these constructs and through the use of text in the relation to musical context and word coupling. For example, a song like Geology uses music to represent the movement of lava. while the words are strictly descriptive and non-representational. This contradiction in representational, non-representational, causes a tension which for some might be emotional. It is not a nostalgic emotion, due to the lack of memory or subjective relation to what is presented. However, it is more of an immediate and fundamental emotion which I find just as interesting as melancholy or anger. Is a challenge when singing such texts. The delivery really is about relating the text to the music in content and context through one's imaginarium. Normally, when singing, a good delivery is one that captures some essence of emotion, and whether it is celebrating something or mourning another, the value lay within its display of belief in what is being said by the singer. When singing my part in the song Tomorrow in a Year, I was not singing from the perspective of myself, but that of a long time period. So, Janine, how did you go about writing and composing a letter to Henslow? And who is Henslow?
Henslow was an English botanist and geologist, and introduced Darwin to Captain Fitzroy of HMS Beagle. This was a really interesting recording. We made a series of vocal experiments, attempting to use the voice purely as an instrument, rather than a recognisable human singing voice. We took time to get into the right frame of mind. It was at times funny and always very physical. We were pulling at our throats and cheeks and pressing down on our nostrils to influence and manipulate the air, to change the sound.